Welcome to the New York Outdoor News Great Northeast Podcast. Every 2 weeks, we explore news and issues affecting hunters, anglers, and conservation across the northeastern United States. If you enjoy the content here, be sure to subscribe to our print or digital versions by calling 800-535-5191 or visit our website at outdoornews.com. Now, here's your host and a man who claims he's immune to buck fever, New York Outdoor News editor Dan Ladd.
This episode of the Great Northeast Podcast is brought to you by the Family Forest Carbon Program, a collaborative initiative created by two nonprofit organizations, the American Forest Foundation and the Nature Conservancy, assisting landowners in improving the health of their land with long-term sustainable forest management practices while providing guaranteed annual income. Learn more at familyforestcarbon.org. Greetings and welcome to the Great Northeast Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Ladd, editor of New York Outdoor News. Happy to be along, happy to have you along as we may be seeing some light at the end of the tunnel as far as winter is concerned. Now, depending on how you feel about winter activities, that may be good news or bad news. I got to tell you, I'm hoping to get out on the ice once or twice myself before this winter's over. And judging by the looks of the weather, you know, at least the long-term forecast here in the Northeast, that probably will happen. I think winter could hang on here for a while in this region. For other folks looking to try to maybe get outside, do some shed hunting, looking for some of those whitetail antlers, or just hoping that spring comes sooner rather than later, well, you know, that remains to be seen. Either way, we're turning the corner here again. The meteorological spring effectively begins March 1st. So, little excitement there. Of course, we got to wait a few more weeks for the spring equinox. What else is going on here in the Northeast? Well, we've got our small game seasons wrapping up here in New York as February comes to a close. Most of them close. However, you can still hunt snowshoe hares through mid-March. And, of course, predators like coyotes. And there's trapping seasons that go on for mink and beaver, I believe, well into the early part of April. So there's a lot we can still do here this time of year, which is a transition. We've got a great guest lined up for you. I'm not much of a TV person, but if you've ever heard of this program on the History Channel called Alone, a series, we've got a gal who participated in that back in 2023, season 10. Her name is Melanie Sawyer, and I met Melanie at the Adirondack Outdoorsman Show recently in Johnstown. Had a table right next to them for New York Outdoor News, her and her partner Brian, and well, we had a great time, and I got to know Melanie quite a bit and asked her to come on this podcast and be our guest. She wears a lot of hats in the outdoor world, primarily centered around survival skills. She teaches all this stuff. She's an instructor. Especially with like wildfire kits, things like that. And she's all about doing stuff with and for women. In fact, her and Brian have a school they're setting up on their property where you can come there and camp and hang out and learn all these skills and come away with a lot of knowledge. I think you're going to really enjoy the conversation I had with Melanie, and we've got that coming up right after this.
Your land is your legacy, but keeping it healthy and thriving means caring for it now and in the future. The Family Forest Carbon Program can help you do right by your land with guaranteed income, help developing a forest management plan, and advice from experts. If you own 30 acres or more of forest land in Vermont, Massachusetts, or New York, you may be eligible to enroll in the Family Forest Carbon Program. Visit familyforestcarbon.org and enroll today.
Welcome back to the Great Northeast Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Ladd, editor of New York Outdoor News. And well, for me, we've got one of our own here. I live in the Adirondacks, and we're talking with a lady that lives in the Adirondacks too, but she got here via England somehow. We've got Melanie Sawyer with us. And as I mentioned earlier, she came to fame on the Alone TV show. She'll talk about that. But Melanie, we just want to welcome you to the podcast, say hello, and see how you're doing.
Hello, Dan. How are you? I'm doing great. Thank you so much.
So you're up in, is it Mineville, Eastern Adirondacks, Northeastern Adirondacks?
If we're going to be specific, I'm 3,000 foot up a mountain about 2 miles away from Mineville. I'm up in Moriah. I'm basically walk half a mile in from the road, and you'll find me ensconced with quail, turkeys, ducks, a very patient man, dogs, and chickens.
Quails? Where are these quails coming from?
The quails are like a new addition to the family, so to speak. They're absolutely delicious. They are. They're amazing, and they grow quickly, and the meat itself is amazing. So, as someone who is always trying to bring clean meat into the household, this is definitely a game changer. I'm really, really loving rearing them and also eating them. So both ends of the spectrum.
So we want to talk about all this stuff you do with food and maybe a little bit about your alone experience.
Sure.
But first of all, how did you come to this part of the country, to this part of the world?
I came to America in the early 90s. I was on the other side of the camera. I was modeling at the time. And I got booked for a job in New York City. And basically, pretty much as soon as I set my feet down in JFK, I realized that I was way happier in New York, in America, than I was in England, which some people think is crazy because England is so kind of quintessentially kind of nature and green and cups of tea and things. But there's also the other side of that, the kind of like the class system. And I'm not comfortable with it. So when I came to America, people like you for who you are, not for what your bloodline is or what your accent sounds like. And I mean, my first years were in Italian Brooklyn. So you can imagine I've as a foodie, I've had a lot of fun there. Adirondacks was later on, and I'm never leaving. This place is awesome.
I would have to agree with that. You know, I once interviewed a young man from Britain who came here and he day hunting with us, and basically what we talked about was how where he was from in England, he would never be able to do that, owning a gun,
no,
being able to hunt pheasant or fox or anything like that was, you know, it was just for a certain class of person. And and he was just amazed.
Absolutely.
That a guy, the average guy can, the average person could just, you know, they have to qualify for that hunting license, but eventually they can become a licensed hunter. And that was to him.
Yeah,
that was just something else. It really was. So you've been here for 30 years and then some now.
I have been here for 30 years and then some, hunting and happily hunting and fishing almost the entire time. It's it really is a land of the free, you know, just get the correct licenses and you'll be good to go.
What do you like to hunt for?
Personally, I love venison. I'm loving a good bit of venison, and also turkey. And it wasn't until I started hunting turkey that I realized just how fascinating they are as birds themselves. So that brought the introduction of turkeys onto the homestead. I've got some bronzes, and they're amazing. This is the summer they'll start laying eggs too, so I'm really looking forward to that.
So you raise turkeys and you hunt turkeys.
Yes, I do.
Which do you prefer?
Eat them.
Of course.
Both. To be honest, both. I mean, you know, my aim in life is to eat and live cleanly. You know, there is way too many chemicals in our foods and our drinks. You know, I'm sitting up here in a mountain with a spring, which is drilled 600 feet into the ground. I have no chlorine, nothing in the water. You know, I'm raising my meat. I'm going fishing. I mean, that's not to say that I don't have cookies with my coffee, but I'm really, really trying to live as clean a life as possible. You know, there's so many diseases associated with the chemicals that we put into our bodies. And with my mom passing from cancer, for sure, it's a big focus for me to try and steer myself away from that and live a clean life.
So what is your official occupation?
I have a couple, to be honest. Since doing the survival show alone with the History Channel, it is kind of branched out. So I have a work job and then I have a passion job. And the passion job is everything to do with alone and moving forwards from that, which is basically teaching people of all ages, sexes, and physical abilities that they can get out into the wild and they can hunt, they can fish, they can create survival methods that which work for them. And in doing so, it really empowers them. I've seen life changes made when I've taken students out onto the land. So I'm just getting stronger and stronger in that half of my life and honestly, this year, I'm actually starting a school on the land here. My partner, Brian, has 120 acres. So we have a huge logging header, and we are setting up a camp at a school there and teaching people actually on the land here now. Not just from my aspect, which is the modern aspect of hunting and fishing and wilderness survival, but also because Brian is a mixed blood Mohawk. And we're both historical reenactors of the French and Indian War. We're teaching the historical aspect of that too. So alongside beginners archery, women will be, and men and kids will be learning flint and steel, with, you know, 14, 15, 1600s. They'll be learning bow drill. They'll be learning ferro rods, which was first patented in the late 1800s, early 1900s. It's a mixture of modern and old, and people love doing it. So as long as people love doing it and keep on coming back, I'm going to carry on doing it too.
So when do you envision having this up and running and folks being able to start taking part in this?
Well, I have been teaching, and Brian has been teaching all over New York State and also England for the past couple of years, in fact, since season 10 finished. But this on the land here, my first class is May 24th. There was a lottery system for it, and it got booked up three times over. So that's really, really awesome. You know, I have classes booked for June and July too. It's going to be once a month for an overnight, and then there'll be day classes, which will be accessible for all. My first class is actually May 23rd. It's going to be a weekend overnight. My students are going to be learning archery, water filtration, map and compass, survival skills in the way of traditional fire, snaring, some figure four deadfall traps, that kind of thing. It's very exciting. It's actually booked up. So we're now looking for more dates moving forward, June, July, August. Probably those classes will be once a month. And then I'll be holding day classes in between, because why not?
Great. Well, Melanie, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back with more from Melanie Sawyer right after this.
There's a great program available for youth who love to hunt and fish. It's called the Outdoor News Junior Pro Team, and any youth 18 or under can join for free at jrproteam.com. JPT program showcases useful videos and tips to help encourage the next generation to become stronger anglers and hunters. It's a platform to celebrate and inspire those outdoor loving youth. Check out the photos of Outdoor News Junior Pro Team members on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and YouTube. And visit our jrproteam.com for more information.
Welcome back to the Great Northeast Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Ladd. We've got Melanie Sawyer, who's riding out a snowstorm in the Adirondacks right now. And she's talking about the camp you've got started. I mean, I think that's cool. I think that's great. And you were mentioning your occupation, part one. What's part two?
I am kind of the opposite end of the spectrum. So you have the wild Melanie, and then you have the Melanie who is a child and baby wrangler for clients like Ralph Lauren. So basically that's a Mary Poppins on a photographic set of very high-end fashion. I make sure the kids are safe, talk them through what they're meant to be doing. And it's an incredibly amazing job to have. There's only seven of us on the East Coast. I think definitely the accent helps, but getting back out into the wild is the place where I'm grounded. So,
I noticed,
as much as I mean, love that part of my job.
and as I explained, in the preview, at the beginning of this podcast, before we joined in, we met at the show in Johnstown, New York this past weekend. Of course, I'd heard about you before.
Yeah, we did. That was a lot of fun.
I noticed how great you were with kids. I mean, I noticed that right off the bat. And you were also doing a lot with women as well. And we talked about that. And I'd like you to embellish on that a little bit about, because you previously mentioned here how, you know, you want to teach people survival skills, but you really thrive when it comes to young people and women.
Absolutely. And Dan, you know, it's so important for us all to get out. You know, so often in my classes, when I first started teaching, had moms push their kids and their husbands forward and take photographs of them. You know, these moms still had great smiles on their faces and they enjoyed it. But when you actually have kids or have women stand forward and start learning the skills too and realizing that they're just as capable, it's a wonderful thing to see. Women in general have been taught, not so much now for the 20s generation, I would say, but moving up from that, you know, I'm 58. We were all taught that the outdoors was for men. And yeah, absolutely no problem. But, you know, we women, and hopefully I'm proving that, and so many other women of my genre are proving that, but we can also get outside. And it's a very big thing for me. You know, the camp on the land will definitely be mainly focused towards women and young ladies, young girls, just teaching them the skills so that they can guide their younger siblings or their dads or their moms and enjoy, you know, a more integrated family holiday, for example, or a more integrated hiking where they're not just doing the cooking, they're actually getting out there and catching the fish and gutting them. And, you know, all of those things that we see men do, which is awesome. I love guys. I think they're amazing. But women need to know and understand that they are totally capable of doing these too. And the more I teach, the more I see that it's just a simple switch in the brain. And once women realize that they can do it, it's just a wonderful thing to see. They are so happy. They become confident themselves. And of course that transfers into other parts of their life. So yeah, it's definitely a mission. I work hard with the Girl Scouts. And I'm also working alongside companies and organizations like BOW, which is Becoming an Outdoors Woman. And that's run by the DEC. They run a couple of classes in New York State every year. And it's actually an organization that is nationwide. So regardless of where you're listening from, folks, you are going to find a BOW, a Becoming an Outdoors Woman chapter in your state. So just go onto the DEC websites of your state and you will find it. It's amazing. We teach things like trapping, hunting, fishing, fire, water, foraging, ice fishing, shotgun, taxidermy, you name it. The world is our oyster. We just we listen to what women want to learn and we provide it. And that's basically what I'm doing here on the land, is I'll provide a little mini version of that. And so it just opens up people's worlds, and that's a great thing, right?
For sure. And I've been to BOW, not as a participant. That's a joke.
Have you taught at BOW, Dan?
No, I haven't. I attended as a member of the media a few years ago. I went to the event in Silver Bay.
Oh, okay. All right.
And walked around, took a lot of pictures, yeah. Met some folks. It was before COVID. I know that.
That's awesome.
It was prior to COVID.
Okay. So we did Silver Bay in August of last year, and it was Paul Smith's in January. We didn't do it this January, unfortunately, but Paul Smith seems to be the winter bow in the snow. And then Silver Bay is the autumnal one. You know, Adirondack Life right now has a article about bow. If anyone's interested, head over to the current Adirondack Life. And I invited some of the press, the journalist from, I think she's called Nikki. She went in with me and spent a weekend learning some survival skills and reported back on it. It was actually a lot of fun.
Very nice. Very nice. Yeah, we've had quite a bit of coverage of it in New York Outdoor News over the years. Hey, we're going to take a quick break and come back with more from Melanie Sawyer right after this.
Like every serious angler in this region, I want to make the most of my time on the water. That's why I read OutdoorNews.com. This all-new digital resource is loaded with valuable tips, lake profiles, up-to-date fishing reports, gear reviews, and breaking news on laws and regulations that affect the sports we love. Plus, OutdoorNews.com will help you catch more and bigger fish. Be prepared and get ahead of the crowd. Join OutdoorNews.com today.
Welcome back to the Great Northeast Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Land, editor of New York Outdoor News, and we've got Mel Sawyer. She's a a jackass of all trades. She's got a lot going on. And Mel, there's a few things I want to touch base with you on this last segment. And I don't know where to start. Let's talk with some of your food stuff that you do a lot with food. And I know you've got an event that you're planning for this spring in Lake George, and something related to your reenactments and to, you know, earlier times and how people got both.
Tell us about that. Absolutely. I mean, I am a massive history buff. I absolutely love it. And especially the French and Indian War, obviously because I'm English. You know, my partner being mixed blood Mohawk, we kind of gel together really well because the Mohawk were basically the backbone of the native support for the English at that time. And one of my loves is foraging. And when you go back into and delve into what they ate during that time, it's absolutely fascinating for someone like me. And I got to tell you, it was, in fact, one of the reasons why I stayed out so long in the Arctic when I was on the Alone show. I had this huge knowledge of what the traditional foodstuffs were for the Mohawk, for the Iroquois Confederacy. And because of it, I knew the building blocks of energy, which came from nature. You know, some of you guys will know would be like cambium, which is the inside layer of a tree. You know, that's carbs and starches. But then there's also other things like reindeer moss and rock tripe. You know, there's a lot of edible foodstuffs out there as well as the ones that some people do know. And it's history that taught me that, you know, when Washington's troops were wintering during the Battle of Valley Gorge, Valley Forge, they were starving, but they could see that the Stockbridge Mohicans were not. And so Washington's guys sent an envoy over to them and asking them why they weren't starving. And it was because they were eating this thing called rock tripe, which, if you are a largemouth bass fisherman, when you are hitting the deep areas just underneath the rock ledges in the lakes, there's always like a leathery green or black lichen growing on the walls there. And that's rock tripe. Now, rock tripe's really incredible. It has the same amount of sugars as a handful of hominy or 2 spoonfuls of honey. And it's just so easy to forage. So as well as feeding myself in the Arctic with the pike, squirrel, mice, and whatever else I could get hold of, I was supplementing that with carbohydrate.
Let me give this a plug here. This is called Battles and Beverages, correct?
Yes, that's and right. Battles and Beverages, March 21st.
Frontier food tasting and talk. Taste the 18th century frontier. History on your plate. With stories of the past, like you said, March 21st this year at Fort William Henry Conference Center. Folks, that's in Lake George Village, right on the very southern tip of Lake George in Warren County, New York. Question. How many of these foods are gluten-free?
Oh, well, snapping turtle soup is going to be a fun one for you guys. Do you like mussels?
I can live with mussels. I'm gluten intolerant, by the way, so I'm just curious. I'm looking at this flyer you've got here, and all I see is pie and bread and all this stuff I can't eat. So
alongside the pie and the bread, which are both very historically correct, there's also things called, there's venison, for starters. Then there's snapping turtle, which was a huge supplement of meat for many people in the 1700s, and actually used as an aphrodisiac for newlyweds, just so you know. But it's a great meat. I love eating snapping turtle. And then there's also another one called moule éclat, which is mussels buried in pine needles and set on fire. And I petitioned really hard for this one because basically it's setting fire to stuff and then eating it, which, I mean, how can you not have fun doing that?
So snapping turtle. I mean, there's one guy down in Kentucky became a YouTube star with turtle hunting, the Turtle Man. I'm sure you've seen that guy.
Yes.
He swims out there in these swamps.
Yeah, absolutely.
Comes up with them and, you know, pretty entertaining stuff.
Yeah, it's like
there.
Noodling. Well,
yes, exactly.
Well, in New York State, yeah, in New York State, it's you can use a 22 or a bow. Obviously, it doesn't run away very quickly, which is awesome. And you should never do it during egg laying season. You know, there's very specific hunting seasons for them. But for me, it's one of the most delicious meats that you can get a hold of. Just make sure that you're in an unpolluted area because they are bottom feeders. But yeah, if you've never tried it, come to Fort William Henry Museum on March the 21st and come and have a sample, because once you tasted it, it's delicious. It's really, really delicious.
Try out some snapping turtle. I want to circle back to when you're talking with people for the first time who, you know, have no experience with this. What are the skills you find yourself teaching them first?
And Dan, just to reiterate, you're talking about outdoor survival skills.
Yes, I should have been more clear on that. Somebody who's brand new, come to you. They've never done anything like this in their life, and they want to learn. What are you showing them first? Or is it fire starting, map and compass? I mean, what type of skills are you really making sure they?
Fire starting for sure. I mean, once they have the confidence of understanding they can create fire, that, you know, and it's all about confidence. That is the most important thing. Once you take away the barrier of believing that you can't, then you get the next step, which is what if, and or I can, or I want to, you know. Steps to learning are very important, and most people falter at the first one, which is thinking they can't do things. Once you've taken away that step and show them that they can do something, then you move forward. And creating fire, whether it be lighting cannon fuses, flint and steel, ferro rods, chemical reactions, friction fire, bow drill, any of those ones always creates a big smile on my students' faces.
Excellent. Is there anything else you'd like to talk about before we wrap things up?
No, I don't think so. I think just the community that I met when I was at the Adirondack Outdoorsman Show was all encompassing. I loved being there for that weekend. If you've never been to the Adirondack Outdoorsman Show, please do go. It's an incredible experience for people of all ages and abilities. And I look forward to going there again and finding more events and creating more events so that more people can enjoy the outdoors.
Well, great. Well, Melanie, thanks for taking the time to join us here on the podcast. You've been listening to Melanie Sawyer.
You are so welcome.
Look her up. She's all over social media and the internet out there. I don't even know where to start with that. Why don't you tell folks where they can find you?
I love Facebook. You just Google my name, Melanie Sawyer, on Facebook. But if you're on the internet, you can go to my website, which is called Wild Foods and Wilderness. And not only can you learn about me and what I teach, but you can also access the beginning of a compendium of wild foods from nature. Some of them you'll know, and some of them I know going to surprise you. So Wild Foods and Wilderness, melanie-sawyer.com, Instagram, Facebook, and the dreaded TikTok. If you're a YouTuber, come find me on YouTube. I've got some really interesting videos there, which I think you'll enjoy.
Great.
Thank you, Dan.
Well, thank you, Melanie. I appreciate it very much, and I hope folks will look you up, and I look forward to seeing you and Brian again down the road. You've been listening to the Great Northeast Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Ladd. For New York Outdoor News, hoping everybody's got a snapping turtle they're going to catch and a big buck on their meat pole. Until the next time.
Missed a past episode of the New York Outdoor News Great Northeast Podcast? You can find previous programs at outdoornews.com or via your favorite podcast streaming platform. And for the rest of the story on the topics we cover on this program, get yourself a subscription to Outdoor News. Simply call 800-535-5191 or visit us at outdoornews.com. And don't forget to join us again here in 2 weeks to talk everything out of doors. Thanks for listening to the New York Outdoor News Great Northeast Podcast.